Today's khutbah is about one or fragments of one subject in the Quran, and it's a very heavy subject. I'd like to call it the subject of anger and losing one's temper. And this is something that is often, like many other subjects in Allah's book, oversimplified, in our deen, oversimplified. Of course, we all know that anger is not a good thing, and we're not supposed to be in a state of anger. But we're going to try to dig deeper a little bit into some of the aspects of anger that Allah talks about and the way that He talks about them. And I'd like to start with a kind of an unusual place, acknowledgement. Meaning Allah Azza wa Jal acknowledges that it's okay to be angry at certain occasions. When is it okay for a believer, a slave of Allah, to be angry? Because at the end of the day, anger is only truly justified for Allah Azza wa Jal. As a matter of fact, the word ghadab in the Quran pretty much entirely is used only for Allah. People who drew upon themselves the anger of Allah, the ghadab of Allah. غَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ فَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. This expression is continuously used exclusively for Allah. The only time outside of the usage for Allah you find the word ghadab used is twice, and that's for Musa alayhi salam. غَضْبَانَ أَسِفًا is occurring twice in the Quran. But before we go to ghadab, which is a common Arabic word for anger, and we'll dig into that a little bit more, I want to start with something else. Just a couple of words of vocabulary so they stay in your mind. Even though the Quran uses multiple words for anger, it uses ghayz, it uses ghadab, it uses sakhat, it uses hard, there's multiple words used. I want to start with ghayz, which is probably the most important to understand, because it's used even for believers, and it's also used for disbelievers. It's also used for people who don't like Muslims. Like, mutu bi ghayzikum, inna allaha alimun bi dhati sudur. You want to have, you know, عَدُّ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَنَامِنَ مِنَ الْغَيْضِ. They bite at their fingers at how angry they are at you, how much they hate you, some people who hate Muslims. And Allah says, you can die that way. Die in your anger. Allah knows what you have in your hearts. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. But what does this word غَيْض actually signify? This is what I wanted to start with. غَيْض actually is not to let anger be shown. غَيْض in Arabic is actually something, it's used, for example, حَلِيمَةٌ مُغْتَاضَة. They used to look at this big stone pot that's cooking something, and they would call it halimatun muqtada, which means calm yet angry. What that means is, if you look at the pot, it's not moving, it's still. It's calm, it's settled. But if you go touch it, you burn your hand. Right? So you don't really know what's going on when you look at it, but if you take a closer look, or if you looked inside, you'd see something boiling inside. Right? And that's the state of people sometimes. You, on the outside, they look totally calm. Like, they'll even smile at you and say, Assalamu alaikum, how are you, etc. And inside, they hate your guts. They can't stand you, right? And they have a lot of rage inside of them. But it's not even about a hypocritical attitude. It could even be that somebody's carrying about their life very normally. They're doing groceries, they're going to work, they're meeting with friends, everything seems normal. But inside, there's some crazy stuff going on, and there's an overwhelming amount of rage, and nobody can tell from the outside that this storm is brewing inside this person. Nowadays, we see crazy things in the news, right? He was such a normal guy. I don't know what happened. I don't know why he picked up a machine gun and, you know, went crazy in the movie theater or went crazy in the college campus or whatever else. But it's not even to the extreme where you end up going on a killing rampage. Even inside of your family, sometimes there's somebody who all of a sudden erupts. And you're like, wait, you were never like that. What happened to you? What bug bit you today? Well, you didn't see it because it was brewing inside for many, many, many years sometimes. And they were holding it in and holding it in and holding it in, and there was no way to let it out, and eventually it just comes out, and it comes out far too much. By the way, when it does come out, then it's ghadab. When it does release, that's ghadab. If you're able to hold it in and contain it, and it's boiling on the inside, but nobody knows on the outside, that is still ghayz. And I want to start off with, for the most part, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, they withstood a lot. And they were insulted publicly. Their messenger, who they love more than their own selves, was insulted in front of them. He was cursed, he was spit at, he was pushed away, he was almost stoned to death, he was expelled from his home. They were taken out of their homes. Can you imagine the anger you would have if somebody was taking you out of your home? If somebody was taking me and my family and my kids out of my home and kicking them out and pushing them away and threatening them and then moving in like it's theirs? Can you imagine that kind of anger? Can you imagine the anger against those who tried to kill you and, you know, have made fun of you and even tried to kill you? You've gone to war with them multiple times. Those are the people that the Prophet ﷺ, taught the Sahaba to engage even them with the ethics of war. In other words, you don't go overboard in your anger. You deal with them patiently. And you know, that ghayz of the companions was put to the test. I mean, they got to release some of it at Badr. There, some of it released at Uhud, some of it released at Ahzab. But by the time we get to Hudaybiyah and the treaty that the companions reached, how frustrated were they? How angry were the companions that now they've made it all the way? They didn't even come with weapons. They come all the way to Mecca. They reach this unmanned place, Hudaybiyah, where human beings aren't even supposed to be there. It's an abandoned field. And the way to get there is through burning rocks. Like, it's not even a path you travel for people. Even animals don't go on that path. And that's the path they took to get there because they were afraid of getting attacked. And Meccans were actually on the attack on the way that the Muslims were going to Hajj. And this is in itself enraging because for the people of Mecca, they had one policy. If somebody comes to Hajj, we don't attack them. Well, because you know, even the mushrik, the idol worshipping tribes, they used to do Hajj too. They used to come for pilgrimage also. But the Meccans had mutual respect from everybody because they're not going to attack somebody who comes for the purpose of worship. But they even then broke their own constitution and tried to attack. They sent actually back then Khalid ibn Walid, who wasn't Muslim yet, radiallahu anhu. They sent a battalion with him to try to attack the Muslims on their way to Hudaybiyah, on their way to Hajj. So they had to take another route, and literally, some narrations describe, as they're making their way to Hudaybiyah, they were bleeding because the jagged rocks and the thorns on the path, because even animals don't go there, were cutting their legs and their shins as they were going. And the shoes were melting off from the burning rock, and people's feet were burning as they were going on this path to get to Hudaybiyah. They didn't get there easily. And when they get there, and they bring all of their animals there for slaughter, then they find out after much back and forth that they can't do Hajj. They have to go back. And not only do they have to go back, they have to slaughter the animal and they have to give the meat of that animal to the people of Mecca. Because that's where the meat is supposed to go. So those people who kept us from doing Hajj are going to eat our animals. That's the first Udhiyah, that's the Eid al-Adha, the first one. We're very happy when the animal is slaughtered. They were not happy when the animal was slaughtered. You know, and this was ghayz. So when the Prophet ﷺ told them to shave their heads, take their ihram off, head back, actually that ghayz turned into ghadab. It came out. And for the first time, the entirety of the companions, the people of Sami'na wa Ata'na, we hear and we obey. This is how Quran describes these people. We hear and we obey. The Prophet ﷺ tells all of them to listen, none of them listen. None of them listen. To the point where even Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who's supposed to be the symbol of the obedience and loyalty to the Prophet ﷺ, hears Umar bin al-Khattab. Umar got up and spoke out. And he lashed out. Actually, he lashed out at the Prophet ﷺ. He got loud in front of everybody. And even said, أَلَسْنَا عَلَى الْحَقِّ? Aren't we following the right religion? Wait, what do you mean? And he even questioned the Prophet. Didn't you see a dream? We're coming here? And the Prophet ﷺ said, I never said this year. But then he could have just said, well, if it's not this year, what are we doing here this year? And he got so mad, he took those. And by the way, when he said these questions, even Abu Bakr can hear him. But usually when Umar bin al-Khattab used to get angry, who used to calm him down? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. But even Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said nothing. He said nothing. Then he went to Abu Bakr and repeated the same questions, and Abu Bakr said, you better watch it. Then he put him on, you calmed him down, you know? But this is the level to, and by the way, all of this happened, you have to bear in mind that when somebody raises their voice to the Prophet ﷺ, or when people disobey the messengers in the Quran, that's not a small thing, is it? Disobeying messengers. And yet no ayat of the Quran came to reprimand those companions for doing what they did. As a matter of fact, the Quran that came down to comment on what happened, all of it, it actually includes some of the greatest praises of those companions ever. Ever. Actually compares them to a growing, maturing crop, you know, at the end of Surah Al-Fath, you know. And it's an incredible, incredible image. Why? Why though? They were angry. Allah should have said, you shouldn't have gotten angry. You should have obeyed the Prophet ﷺ. Remember in the battle of Uhud, when some of the companions decided to come down from the mount and didn't obey the Prophet ﷺ, then ayat came. حتى إذا فشلتم وتنازعتم في الأمر وعصيتم من بعد ما أراكم ما تحبون منكم من يريد الدنيا ومنكم من يريد الآخرة. Ayat came to criticize them. But here, all of them disobeyed. And no criticism. This is Allah's way of telling us there are some times where anger can become overwhelming and it's justified. Even at that stage. Imagine the woman in Surah Al-Mujadila, the opening of Surah Al-Mujadila that came to the Prophet ﷺ, started raising her voice. My husband just told me that I'm like his mother to him now. He won't be with me anymore. This was the jahil way, the ignorant way of giving a divorce to your wife. It wasn't really a divorce, but the guy got angry at his wife and said, from today on, you're like my mom. That's what I'm going to call you. That just means we're done. Because I can't think of you anymore. That would be as disgusting to me as thinking about my own mother. It was a really nasty thing to say. So they did that. He did zihar to her. And she came complaining to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet didn't know what to tell her, alayhi salatu wasalam. He didn't have revelation to answer that question. So he remained silent. He says, I don't know what to tell you. And she gets angrier and angrier. She gets louder and louder. And then Quran comes, Surah Al-Mujadila comes, and Allah Azza wa Jalla says, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. Allah heard the call of the one complaining about her spouse that came to you, and she's complaining to Allah, and Allah is listening all along to both of your dialogue. وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا. Allah is listening to the dialogue happening between both of you. But even then, he doesn't say, لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. He doesn't say, you better be quiet. You better just listen. You better recognize that's the messenger of Allah. No, at that moment, that anger was justified. That was okay. Allah actually took her side. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. When someone's in a desperate situation and their anger gets the best of them, Allah is on their side. That when somebody's mazloom, when somebody's been wronged, those sahaba were wronged for many, 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 many years. It just came out. It came out in ways that they never imagined they would ever do. That's okay. As a matter of fact, if it had been anybody else, it would have been a riot at Hudaybiyah. Forget it, we're going to fight. We don't care. The fact that they just didn't obey or didn't take their ihram off at first is pretty amazing. And the Prophet ﷺ doesn't have a giant microphone. There are no water hoses with like police to calm the crowd down. A crowd of 1,800 to 2,000, and they're calmly disobeying. Calmly, just expressing their anger. And one or two of them speak out. That's incredible. That's why Allah actually praises it. Allah does not say you can't be angry, but Allah praises those companions for the way they express their anger. It's an incredible moment in our history. It's something really profound to learn from. Allah does not say you shouldn't get angry. Of course you're going to get angry. When injustice happens, you and I become angry. We become frustrated. But what makes them those mature crop is how they dealt with that anger. Even if for a moment they lost it, they regained themselves, they regained their composure. So you've got incident after incident, and the final angry incident, just because this first part of this khutbah, I really wanted to highlight, it's okay to be angry sometimes. That's okay. You're not a terrible human being if you got angry in certain situations. And this third case I want to share with you is probably the most extreme case in the story of the Prophet ﷺ. And that's when his own wife was accused of wrongdoing. And the entire city of Medina, وَالنَّاسُ يُفِيضُونَ فِي قَوْلِ أَصْحَابِ الْإِفْكِ. She herself says, everybody was talking about the scandal against her. But that didn't bother her as much, even though she was really sick and crying and sad. Sadness was what got to her. She cried so much, أَنَّ الْبُكَاءَ فَالِقٌ كَبَدِي. My parents thought my liver's going to tear open because I'm crying for two straight days. The Prophet ﷺ came over to her, sat next to her, and he said something to her. He said to her, you know, in kunti almamti bi dhanbin. If you've done any mistake, if you even made a little bit of a mistake, fastaghfirillah wa tubi ilayhi. Just make tawbah, do istighfar, make tawbah to Allah. If you're innocent, Allah will prove you're innocent. But if you've made a mistake, Allah will prove that you're innocent. Or Allah, you just ask Allah for forgiveness. So the Prophet basically, alayhi salatu wasalam, said two things to his wife. If you did it, repent. And if you didn't, Allah will prove that you're innocent. That's what he said. But the fact that it's her husband saying if, anybody else saying if you did it, if you didn't do it, your own husband says, what do you mean if? Are you doubting me? And she says, قَلَصَ دَمْعِي. She says, my tears dried up. I wasn't crying anymore. That sadness turned into anger. that sadness, then convert it into anger. And when it converted into anger, you know, there were, she turned to her father, to her mother first, and then her father. أَجِيبِي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي مَا قَالْ أَجِيبْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي مَا قَالْ. Can you answer what he just said? Can you please answer him? The mom says, وَاللَّهِ لَا أَدْرِي مَا أَدْرِي مَا أَقُولُ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I swear to God, I don't know what to tell him. The father says, I swear to God, I don't know what to tell him. There's three people in front of her. The Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, her mother and her father. Those were the three people in the room when this incident happened. And by the way, if you study Quran, what do you learn? The three people that deserve the most respect. Messenger of Allah and who? Your parents. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرُهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Don't even say, don't even that much to them. That's how seriously you're supposed to take the respect for your parents. You can't be angry in front of your parents. You can't even let them see the bulges on your forehead. That's what the Quran teaches about our dealings with our parents. And all three of them are in front of her. And what does she say? Wallahi la ajidu lakum mathalan. I don't even know how to describe you people. She started yelling at all three of them. And then she quoted the Quran and she compared them to the brothers of Yusuf. He says, the only thing I can say is what Yaqub said to, you know, his sons. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانَ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. The only thing I can do is find beauty and patience, because only Allah is the only one who can help because of the things you're describing. Basically, when the Yusuf's brothers were describing that he was eaten by a wolf, they were lying, right? And she's put now the same category. For them, she's put the three people in front of her in the same category by quoting the ayah. That's pretty serious. That's really serious. And then she's done talking. فَاتَّجَعْتُ إِلَىٰ فِرَاشِي. I turned back and I lie down on my bed. I'm done talking to you people. Turning your back to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to your parents? It's remarkable what happened. And then ayat came, 10 ayat came of Surah An-Nur, and none of them criticize our mother, radiallahu anha. Why? Because there are cases in which anger is justified. When ghayz turns into ghadab, it's justified. But don't use this first part of what I'm sharing with you to justify your anger. I wanted to start with that to give us some license, but not open license. Give myself license, but not open license. That now we get to just, you know, well, I heard a khutbah and that's it, I'm going back home as the Incredible Hulk and I'm just gonna... No. What is the balance? Because the Quran always gives us a balanced view. Always a balanced view. By the way, there was one more incident, but since time is running out, I'll be very brief with it. It's the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam. When he was already a minister, he was already in a position of power, and all the villages were starving, and they used to come to the ministry to get food. They were basically on a kind of food stamp system now. Right, they were on welfare. They couldn't get their own food. So his own family came and they didn't even recognize him. And now the same people who threw him in a well, his brothers, are in front of him. Right? Okay, that's bad enough. He should be angry at see, oh, now you need help. You know what? I have the power to get you thrown in a well now. I have the guards to get it done. But no, that wasn't even what made him mad. When he made this scheme that one of his brothers, the youngest brother, should be pulled away because he trusted him and he loved him and he knew that he was also oppressed and he held him back, and there was these trumped up charges about he's stolen something, right? When they confronted them about these charges, his own brothers, standing in front of him, said, oh, فَإِنْ سَرَقَ فَقَدْ سَرَقَ أَخُلْ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ. Oh, he stole? Yeah, he had a brother back way back when. He used to have a stealing problem too. Yusuf alayhi salam is the minister now, standing in the position, and his own brothers are telling him about himself that he used to be a thief when he was a little kid. Lying to his face about him. How angry would it be? And by the way, Yusuf alayhi salam has been kidnapped, he's been thrown in a well, he's gone to prison, he's been a servant, he spent years in jail. He's got lots of reasons to be angry, but Quran never describes he was that angry until here. فَأَصَرَّهَا يُوسُفُ فِي نَفْسِهِ. وَلَمْ يُبْدِهَا لَهُ. Yusuf contained all the feelings he had against them and he swallowed them all in. غَيْظ. He held it in. He could have said it. He could have lashed out. He could have had them arrested. He could have had them executed. He could have done anything with them. He had the power to. But he held it in. What are we learning now? We're learning that Yusuf alayhi salam, by the way, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is really important for the Prophet ﷺ, because the Prophet ﷺ was in a great position of, he was actually being oppressed. One of the worst years of oppression of the Prophet's life was the year in which Surat Yusuf was revealed. And he was in a very helpless state. The family support was gone. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was gone. Abu Talib was gone. Things were looking very, very bad for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's in that context, to give the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hope, Allah gave Surat Yusuf. And it's in Surat Yusuf, Allah basically said, look, right now you and your followers have lots of reasons to be angry against the people who've done you wrong. But a time is coming where you're going to be in a position to take revenge. And then at that time, you should exercise what Yusuf alayhi salam is going to exercise. You know, when somebody's wronging you, you're like, one day, when I get a chance, when I do that, you know, you have all these movies, some kid who got beat up, then he learned karate, you know, somebody got humiliated, then they went for training, and then they came back, and then they took revenge. And we've glorified the idea of one day, and you're just, it's all in your head, one day, I'm gonna get you back so good. And that drives them, and all the progress they make is out of, because they want revenge, and eventually they want to get them. Get that out of your head. That's not worth it. That isn't worth it. Why not? Because, you know, ghayz is, you are hurt, it is inside you, but ghadab is no good. Ghadab means you want to act it out, and you want to inflict harm. By the way, if you want justice, no problem. وَلَمَنْ انْتَصَرَ بَعْدَ ظُلْمِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ سَبِيلٍ. Whoever was done wrong, and they want to seek revenge, meaning seek revenge fairly, they want to get fair retribution for the wrong that was done to them, you can't make a case against them. You can tell them, you must forgive, you shouldn't be upset. No, I have the right. Allah says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ سَبِيلٍ. But here I want you to listen to these words of the Prophet ﷺ. اتقوا من الغضب فإنه جمرة توقد في قلب ابن آدم ألم تروا إلى انتفاح أوداجه وجمرة عينيه. He says, be very careful about غضب, anger that lashes out. This is why actually غضبة الفرس اللجام, the horse, when it's chewing on the mane that's in its mouth, when it's chewing on it, biting it, that's also called غضب. And غضاب in Arabic is actually smallpox, meaning it's a disease that scratches and itches and you just need to get it out. And it's disgusting and it makes you ugly. These are the images of ghadab. The Prophet ﷺ says, beware of ghadab. Beware of this thing that will make you ugly, that will make you sick. This want of revenge, this want of getting back at someone. It's going to make you sick. And then he describes it as a burning lump of coal. It's this burning lump of coal inside of you that burns inside the heart of the son of Adam. These are very profound words. What is inside our hearts? Inside our hearts is gratitude. Inside our hearts is patience. Inside our hearts is iman. Inside our hearts is all the good things that Allah wants to have in our inside of a human being belong inside the heart of a human being. If there's a lump of coal burning inside your heart, what's happening to all of those things? They're burning away. All the good that's inside your heart is getting burnt away by anger. He says, watch out for anger. It can burn everything else down. It'll tear everything else apart inside your heart. Haven't you seen the redness of his eyes, the Prophet ﷺ describes? Haven't you seen what happens to his face? That's actually coming from his heart onto his face. The anger manifests. You know, as I conclude, I want to share with you why this is so scary. Why, though anger is justified in some cases, why living a life of anger is so scary. You know, for virtually every disease of the heart, Allah Azza wa Jalla describes some kind of cure. But do you understand that what started off, the only disease, by the way, Allah does not give a cure for is hasad, is jealousy. Yeah, even for anger, there's a cure. For jealousy, there's no cure. And even though my khutbah today isn't about jealousy, I want to conclude with this. Jealousy, if it's not contained, turns into what? Turns into anger. That is what happened with Iblis. His jealousy turned into anger. That is what happened with Banu Israel. Their jealousy of Rasulullah ﷺ turned into anger. مُوتُ بِغَيْظِكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. And when that jealousy turns into anger, then it's basically the same disease shaitan had. There's no going back. Why do you think shaitan doesn't make tawbah? If the door to tawbah is open for everybody, and he knows Islam better than any of us. He was in the company of prophets. All of them. Not even one, all of them. He's been exposed to the truth more than anybody else. We have to believe in the angels as the unseen. He's seen the angels. For us, it's iman in the ghayb. For him, it's iman bishuhud. Why won't he just make tawbah? Because jealousy, when it turns into anger, there's no going back. There's just no going back. And if there is somebody whose jealousy has turned into anger against you, then the only thing you can do is ask Allah to protect you. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. That's all you can do. That's all you can do. Don't become the person who's angry out of jealousy. And if you have people angry at you out of jealousy, or whatever their motives are, just ask Allah's protection. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the ability to control our anger, to not allow that lump of coal to burn the good inside of our hearts. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive the anger that we've demonstrated in our past. And may Allah Azza wa Jal also make us forgiving to those who do become angry for justified reasons. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa khususan ala afdalihim wa khatam al-Nabiyyin Muhammadin al-Amin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا